chapter number 1.
The book of Psalms chapter number 1 is where we're going to be today. And give you a thought the Lord's given to me for this Sunday morning. And trust it'll be a blessing to you. When you find your place in the book of Psalms, if you want to stand and stretch your legs, and you're welcome to do that. And this psalm only has 6 verses, so we'll read all of them. And then if you'll leave your Bible open, we'll preach from this text this morning. And hopefully it'll help you this morning, the sermon will. All right, Psalms chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Lord, I pray for your blessings and your anointing and your help this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to deliver to these people the things that you have put into our heart this week. God, give us preaching grace, we pray in your name. And amen. You can be seated. The fact that this psalm was chosen to be the first of many psalms, I believe, was a wonderful decision. You and I know and we believe that all Scripture is inspired by God. We believe that all Scripture is breathed. We also believe that the King James Bible is God's inspired word for the English-speaking people. But we also know that the Bible is not given to us, I guess, in order from Genesis to Revelation. We know, for example, that Genesis was not the first book, historically speaking, that was written. But it makes sense, the reason that we're given Genesis as the first book. It takes us to beginning past. But the same is true with the Psalms. Psalms chapter number 1 is not necessarily the first psalm that is written, but it makes sense that it is placed here at the beginning of this book. For in Psalms chapter number 1, we are given 2 illustrations. We'll talk about these illustrations in just a moment, but we are given the illustration of a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. It is alive, it is beautiful, it is flourishing, it is bringing forth fruit. And then we are given the illustration of chaff. And the chaff is just the opposite of the tree. It is dead and it is dying. It is fruitless. It has no life to it. And in these 2 illustrations, we are given the picture of the righteous and the unrighteous. The reason I say that this is a good book to begin these Psalms is because in these 2 categories, the righteous and the unrighteous, we find all the world divided. The missionary just said it a moment ago. The world is divided into the saved and the unsaved, the saved and the lost. Well, the psalmist says in chapter 1 that the world is divided into these 2 categories, the righteous and the unrighteous. And you know, really, that's not only the theme of the Psalms, but it's the theme of the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7, he said, "Enter into the straight gate, because there is a broad path that leads to destruction, and many follow, go in thereat. But there's a narrow path that leads to life." You see, all of humanity, all of the world is either righteous on the straight path or unrighteous on that broad path. The whole world is divided into those 2 segments. But I was thinking about something this week. Not only can I see a picture of the world in Psalms chapter number 1, but the more I look at it, the more I can really see a picture of our churches. Let me say it this way. How many of you would agree with me that there are some in our churches that are like this tree in verse or chapter number 1? That they have a real desire to follow God. They have a real heart to do something for God.
Maybe I could say it this way. They are planted. They are solid. They are growing. There are flourishing men and women in our churches today. But at the same time, there are people in our churches that are just like this chaff. They have no substance to them. They are withering, speaking, before they simply blow away. Amen. This morning, I want to look at Psalm a few minutes today. Just preach for a few minutes on this thought, a secret source of blessings. A secret source of blessings. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have to be in one of those two categories, I would rather be the Christian that is fruitful and flourishing and doing something for God than that chaff that is about to blow away. I want to show you three things out of our text. Number one, if you're taking notes, maybe you want to write this down. I see a promised blessing. I see a promised blessing. It's in verse 1 and verse 2. He says this in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." This psalm begins with a decree of blessing upon those that obey the law of the Lord. The word blessed in verse number 1 that begins the psalm is a plural word, and it means that when we obey God's law, when we obey God's word, God blesses us for doing so. And what's interesting about that word blessed in verse number 1 is it does not promise us a single solitary blessing for following God's word, but it promises a continuance of blessing. It means this. It means that the man or the woman that follows the law of the Lord, they will live a blessed life. They will be blessed continually. They will be given God's blessing every day, day by day, one after the other. And that's a wonderful thing. I think that it's wonderful because the blessings of God should be a motivating factor in our lives for us to follow the ways of God and the Word of God and be in the will of God. You know, I think a lot of times in our churches, I'll say this, I think I'm okay right here. I think a lot of times in our churches, we use the judgment of God, and the judgment of God's real. The Bible teaches God's judgment. But we use the judgment of God to try to deter people from sin and try to motivate them to live for God. And that's okay. Judgment's real, and I want to avoid judgment. But can I say to you this morning that the goodness of God and the blessings of God are just as much a motivating factor in my life, if not more of a motivating factor than the judgment of God is. I want to live a life that is blessed by God, and I want to live a life that is pleasing to God because He does bless me. Amen? You see, the judgment of God is awful, but the goodness of God is amazing. The judgment of God is a deterrent, but the goodness of God is a motivator. Amen. I want to serve God because God gives me His goodness every day. Amen. Now, I don't want you to think bad of me right here, but there's probably not a day, not many days that go by that I don't pray for God's blessing. I wake up in the morning, and one of the first things that I do before I start my day is I ask God to bless my wife that day, and God bless my children today, and God give me your favor today, and God bless our church and our church people today. And I ask for God's blessings, and I'm not doing that because I'm a spoiled brat kid that just wants more and more and more. I'm doing that because I have learned a lesson. I have learned that it is easier to live life with God's favor than without God's favor. Days are better when God is blessing the day, are they not? I would rather have a day in God's favor than without God's favor. In fact, the Bible said in Psalms 30, verse number 5, it said, "In His favor is life." You see, the best life we can live is in the blessings of God. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the favor of God and the blessings of God, all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. You see, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. God is promising us his blessings, but I want you to see something. Before we move on, we've got to see what the psalmist is talking about here. He promises God's blessings in verse 1, but notice who he promises God's blessings to. He promises God's blessings to those that are directed by the Word of God. He said, the man that is blessed is the man that does not take counsel from the ungodly, they do not stand with the sinners, and they do not sit with the scornful. You see, the Bible is teaching us God's blessings are real and God's blessings are good, but God's blessings come to those that obey what the Word of God tells us to obey. I want you to think about something. Do you realize that the entire Bible teaches us separation from this world? He said that the blessed are the ones that don't take counsel from the ungodly. They don't stand with sinners. They don't sit. That sounds a lot like separation to me, doesn't it? Separate yourself from those, and I will give you my blessings. God has promised blessings upon those that obey his word. But the whole Bible teaches us separation. You think about it, we don't have to go very far into the Bible before we read about a man by the name of Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch did what? He walked with God, right? Do you know the fact that the Bible points Enoch out as being a man that walked with God? That tells us that Enoch was unique and different than all the other men in that day. There was something different about him, and it was the fact that he walked with God when nobody else was willing to walk with God. We don't read much further, and we read about Noah. Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of God, because when everybody else was living like the world, living in sin, doing unspeakable things so wicked God would have to rain judgment down, there was a man that lived different among all the rest of the men. He was Noah, and do you know what God did for him? He blessed him. We read about Abraham, who God said to Abraham, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to leave your home, and I want you to follow me. And if you follow me, I will give you more children than there are sands on the seashore and stars in the sky. And I will give you a country, and I will bless every nation that blesses you and curse every nation that curses you. He said, just be willing to separate and follow me. Oh, we could go on and talk about the Exodus, how that God in the Exodus told his children in the wilderness, don't be like the other nations that are around you. Act different, walk different, talk different, be different than them. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, John 17, we are in the world, but we're not supposed to be a part of the world. James chapter number 4 said, don't make friends with the world. 1 John chapter 2 said, don't love the world. Titus 2 said, be sober, be righteous, be godly, be peculiar. You see, God gives his blessings to those that follow this book, even if it means being different than everybody else. You know, if you think about it, we do the same thing in our lives, whether we realize it or not. You take a child that is rebellious. You've seen them. They're at Walmart. They're laying in the aisle. They're kicking and they're screaming because they can't get the newest whatever it is. And you feel like saying to somebody, I have got a belt on me. If you need to borrow it, it is okay. But that child kicks and screams and they are rebellious. Do you know why they are kicking and screaming? Because they want something. But do you know the child that, in my opinion, will be more likely to be blessed by their parents is the child that is being obedient and doing what they're said to do and being polite. And you know, there are sometimes as a parent, how many of you all know that when your kids are doing good in school and they're behaving and doing what they're supposed to, sometimes you give them things and they don't even ask for it. Isn't that right? But that child that's laying in the floor kicking and screaming, they're not getting anything from me. Amen? Do you realize that God, our Heavenly Father, wants to bless us, But his blessings come upon those, not the rebel that demands the blessings of God, but the obedient child that follows his precepts and follows his principles and lives and walks in his paths. That is the child that God is going to bless. Amen. He said, God is going to bless those that are directed by the Word of God. He said, but he's going to bless, verse number two, those that delight in the Word of God. He said in verse number two, he said, but he, who is the man that is blessed in verse one, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, this verse tells us that not only does this blessed man follow God's word, but he delights in God's word. He reads the Word of God and he meditates on the Word of God and he finds pleasure in the Word of God. Do you realize that you contain in your laps this morning one of the greatest treasures that God could ever give you? In that great psalm of the Bible, Psalms 119, the psalmist says that this book keeps us from sin. Verse number 11, it shows us wondrous things, verse 18. It's forever settled in heaven, verse 89. It's a lamp unto our feet, 105. It gives us light and understanding, verse 130. It gives peace to those that love it, verse 165. And for all those reasons, and so many more, he said in verse 103, this law is sweeter in my mouth than honey. He said, I'd rather have this than anything else. This is a wondrous book. It gives us wondrous truths. It helps us in our lives. He said, the blessed man is the man that loves the Word of God. Let's use our illustration of a child again. How many of you all know that there are children that are obedient, and that's what he's talking about in verse number one. How many of you all know that there are children that are obedient because they're afraid of a whooping? Some of them just act right because they're afraid of what's going to happen if they don't act right. But then there are some children that act right not because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble, but because they want to please their parents. Okay, maybe let me say it this way. How many of you all know that there are some church members that act right because they're afraid the preacher's going to say something in one of his sermons, or maybe they're going to get in trouble with somebody else in the church, they're going to get caught, or maybe even God's going to judge them. And so they act right because they don't want the whooping that comes from not acting right. But then there are other church members that they act right not because they're worried about what the preacher will say and what somebody else will say and not worried about the judgment of God, but they act right because they want to be pleasing in the eyes of God. So there's this wonderful promised blessing in verse number one and verse number two. He said, I'm promising you blessings. Now watch this. Not only do I see a promised blessing, but I see a picture of blessings. I see a picture of blessings. Look at verse three with me, please. The Bible says, and he, who's the he? It's again the blessed man of verse number one. And the blessed man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. If you highlight in your Bibles, I don't know if you do, but if you do, I would suggest you highlight verse number three. In verse number three, we see the man or the woman that is being blessed by God. And the psalmist illustrates them as being like a tree that is planted by the waters, and they are flourishing in their life. Now, this week I was studying Psalms chapter 1 again, and I saw something that I've never seen before. In verse number 3, there is not only one picture and one illustration, but really there are three. There are three pictures of blessings, or that teach us the process of blessings in verse number 3. The first one is obvious. It's the picture of the tree. He said in verse number 3 that he shall be like a tree. I said a moment ago that the tree is a picture of the man or the woman that is receiving God's blessing. That's a simple one. We know that throughout the pages of the Bible, God's people have oftentimes been associated or identified with trees. The nation of Israel is called a fig tree. They're called an olive tree. In the Bible, we are told about men, Joshua, Zerubbabel, that were called olive trees. And the Gentile people are called a wild olive tree in Romans chapter number 11. So the symbology is clear. We are the tree in verse number 3. You and I, in verse number 3, as the tree, having received God's blessings, it tells us that we are alive, we are fruitful, we are enduring, we are beautiful, we are useful. God is blessing us, and God is giving us strength, and we are like this tree planted by the rivers of water. That's you, and that's me. That is the life that God wants us to live. God wants us to be alive and fruitful and strong and enduring. That's what God wants from us. But I see another picture in verse number 3. It's not just the picture of the tree, but it's the picture of the water. He not only gives us the illustration of the tree, but he gives us the illustration of the water. He said, this tree is planted by the rivers of water in verse number 3. The psalmist says that the tree, or the believer, is planted by rivers of water. Now, this is important because according to our verse, it is the water, the river, that is nourishing the tree and that is keeping this tree strong. I want you to think about this. If you can picture in your mind with me this great strong tree that is planted by a riverbed, and you think about it, you see the tree and all of its strength and all of its glory, and you see the fruit on the tree and the leaves on the tree, and you see its strong bark and its mighty branches, and you see this magnificent tree that is standing there. And if you could see it, you would say, my, what a tree. Look how beautiful it is. Look how strong it is. Look how great its fruit is. You could see the tree standing there. But Brother Scott, there would be something that you could not see. Brother Brendan, underneath the soil where that tree is planted, there would be a root system that you could not see. And in verse number 3, the Bible's telling us this, that strong and mighty tree has a root system underneath it, and that root system has grown and moved its way through the soil until it has found its way to the riverbed. And in that river, it finds the nutrients, and it finds the strength, and it finds the power that it needs to be the strong tree that it is. There is a secret to that tree's power. It is not strong on its own, but there's another source in which it is drawing its power from. That's the way that the blessed believer's life is. When you look at a believer that is experiencing God's blessings, sometimes you cannot understand what the secret to their success is. You see them and you say, how can they be so strong when the winds of life are blowing so harshly upon them? You look at them and you say, how can they maintain spiritual fruit when it seems like everybody else is drying up and dying? You look at them and you don't see the secret of their success. But the truth is this, the believer is strong and the believer is fruitful and the believer is standing when the winds are blowing, not because they are strong on their own, but because they have a source that gives them strength. I don't have to tell you what the source is, do you? Do I? The source is, it's the Word of God in verse number 1. And if it's the Word of God in verse number 1, then I think I could say it this way. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the Word. Did he not? It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You think about that woman in, what was it, John chapter number 4, that woman at the well that come to draw water, and she met one that she was not expecting. And it did not take long before they began a conversation about water, didn't they? And Jesus would eventually say something like this to her. He would say, ma'am, if you were to ask me, I would have gave you living water. He said it would have been from your belly flowing rivers of living water. He said, I would give you a water that would make you so satisfied that you would never be thirsty again. He was saying something like this, There's a source that is bigger than this fountain. There's a source that is bigger than this, what this world can offer. There's an endless supply in me. And if you was to trust in me, I would give you this supply. And the Bible said eventually she leaves her water pot and she heads back home because she doesn't care anymore about that water. She's found the other water and she said, come see a man. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, there is a source, there is a supply that is bigger than you and bigger than me. God has blessings that can flow through you. You can stand strong when nobody else is standing. And you can stay faithful when the winds of life blow. And you can produce fruit when nobody else seems to be producing fruit because you are connected to the water. But there's a third picture. This is the one I've never really thought about before. There's the picture of the tree and there's the picture of the water, but then there's the picture of the fruit. The Bible says in verse number 3 that it brings forth its fruit in its season. Now you think about this. Notice the way that God's blessings are supposed to work here. We see them. The water transports its blessings to the tree, right? The tree is drawing from the water. That's the way blessings come. The tree is drawing from the water. So the water is being a blessing to the tree. Is that not right? Okay. The water is Jesus Christ. We are the tree. So Christ is blessing us. But this tree doesn't just take these blessings and hold them all to themselves. You know what the tree does instead? The tree produces fruit so that it, in turn, can be a blessing to somebody else. Somebody eventually is going to walk by that tree that is planted by that river, and it's going to say, my, look at that fruit. And it will not be long until that the fruit of that tree is taken by somebody else, and the fruit becomes a blessing to them. Amen. Oh, can I say this before I move on and give you the end of this little message? Can I say that that's the way God's blessings are supposed to work? God does not bless you just so that you can be blessed and enjoy God's blessings. Oh, enjoy the blessings that He gives you. I enjoy every one of them. But God doesn't give you those blessings for you to hoard them up and keep them all to yourself. No, no, no. God blesses you so that you can turn around and produce fruit and bless somebody else. Think about this. He said, this tree is planted here. It is drawing blessings and it is giving blessings. Amen. God wants to bless us. Okay, I see a promise of blessing. I see a picture of blessing. But let me show you this, number 3, and I'm done. I see a person without blessings. I see a person without blessings. Look at verse 4. He said, the ungodly are not so. What does he mean by not so? They're not like the tree. They are not drawing from that supply. They are not producing fruit. They are not strong. They are not so. Well, then what are they like? He said, well, I'll tell you what they're like. They're like the chaff. He said, they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I told you that the psalmist begins with a positive. He begins with a positive in verse 1. Blessed is the man. But in this psalm, he argues from the positive to the negative. He starts with the positive. God's got blessings, but in the end, God's also got judgment. He tells us about the beautiful tree that is drawing strength and standing in its time. But at the end of the chapter, there's a different tone and a different note. The chapter ends with another picture, and this time it is the picture of the man or the woman that is not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and they do not have these blessings flowing in their life. He says they're like chaff. In this picture, we see a great contrast. The godly are beautiful, they are alive, and they are flourishing, but the ungodly are dead, and they are dry. And well, if I could say it this way, they're destined for the fire. In Matthew chapter number 3, Jesus gives us the illustration of chaff and wheat. He talks about the man. It might be John the Baptist, actually, that gives the illustration. I think it is in Matthew 3. And he talks about the farmer that gathers the wheat and the chaff together. And he's got that great fan in his hand. And he separates the chaff from the wheat. Now you think about this. I think I could see two pictures here. I see a picture of the ungodly, those that live their lives without Jesus Christ, that are unsaved. The Bible says in Matthew 3 that when he separates the chaff from the wheat, and can I say, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the two. That's why they have to grow up together and eventually be separated, and they separate them with that fan because the chaff has no weight. But anyways, after the chaff is separated, the farmer gathers the chaff up. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist says he cast them into unquenchable fire. You see, the unrighteous, the sinner, the scoffer of verse number one, there is judgment for them. In fact, I think it's the very last word of this psalm. What is the very last word? Is it the word perish? Is it the word perish? Think about this with me. Psalm chapter number one starts with the word blessed and it ends with the word perish. Wow, what a difference. Obey the word of God. Live right. Do what God. Accept Jesus Christ and you'll be blessed. But the ungodly are not so. Instead, there's judgment. But let me say this for the sake of this Sunday morning. Can I say that I see something else here in this chaff? Not only are they destined for the fire, but they're destined to blow away. This chaff has no substance. It has no fruit. Therefore, when the wind comes, it blows away. It's gone. I've seen in my short term as a pastor and in my many years as being in church, I have seen more than one man or woman that at one time professed faith, was faithful to church, faithful to God, faithful to serve. At some point in their life, something happened, and I've watched them begin to drift away from the Lord. It's almost like you can watch them on the pew Sunday morning after Sunday morning as the spiritual life drains away from them. What they've done, whether they realize it or not, is they have cut themselves off from the source that was keeping them going all that time. And I think a lot of times they do it without even realizing they've done it. They've made a decision in their life or something's happened in their life and they have distanced themselves from God and His Word and prayer and fellowship and meditation. They've distanced themselves because of whatever's happened. And you can see the spiritual life drain away from them. They were like the tree. And you can see them turning into the chaff as they wither and begin to die. They begin to miss Bible study. They start missing church services and functions of the church. Eventually, their attitude about the church changes. Their attitude about the Bible changes. Their attitude about prayer changes. Their attitude about Christian service changes. It won't be long before they start becoming critical of everything. Everything that used to be a blessing to them, now they're critical of it. And eventually, do you know what will happen? At some point, a little wind will blow through the church and they'll blow right out. Just like the chaff, they blow away and they're gone. See, the fact is this. I told you earlier in the sermon, I want to serve God not just because there's judgment waiting for me. I want to serve God because I want to serve God. Can I ask you a question this morning? How is it in your spiritual life? Are you as strong as you've ever been? Would you describe yourself as this great and mighty tree? Are you bringing forth fruit? Are you established? Are you kind of wishy-washy? Are you firm in where God's planted you and where God's put you and what God's told you to do? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Do you have a daily walk with God? Or has there been something come into your life that has cut off the source? And whether you want to admit it or not, there's some things that aren't the same anymore. They're lacking. You say, well, preacher, I'll be fine. I know what I'm doing. I don't know if when that tree gets cut away, I don't know if it realizes that river maybe dries up, that blessing dries up. I don't know if the tree realizes at first that the nutrients aren't coming like it used to. That river has been stopped up and now there's no longer water. How is it in your spiritual life? Let me just ask that. Brother Scott, won't you get us a song? I told you I wasn't going to preach long this morning. Would you describe yourself as a tree, fruitful and flourishing? Or do you need to be honest with yourself and honest with God? Are things lacking in your life? I would want to get back into that source of blessings before I turn into that chaff and blow away. But Scott, why don't you sing a verse of a song? If there's somebody that needs to come pray, you're welcome to do so.